Sat yoga is the path of transcending the little realm of the ego forever and ascending into our absolute nature of infinite consciousness without delay in the immediacy of the present moment, every moment. So we've been reading from a book of short quotations by Tulku Orgyen Rinpoche, and there were no more excerpts from that that I found relevant, so I went back to his books that I hadn't opened in many years, and it was interesting to reread some of his longer Dharma talks. All of those excerpts come from these talks, so it's not a different set of quotes. So I wanted to read from one of the Dharma talks he gave that is collected in a book called As It Is. This is volume 2, and these are Dharma talks focused on the completion stage of the journey, as they refer to it. And this is from a talk that's been titled The Heart of Training. He quotes from an early master of what became the Dzogchen lineage, Vairotsana. And the lines are like this. Within the inconceivable, naked state of Dharma Dhatu, place ineffable awareness undistractedly. If a thought arises, it arises out of yourself and dissolves into yourself. Okay? Three lines. His fourth line is simply a summing up. There is no basic view, meditation, or instruction superior to this. All right? So these three lines sum up the entire teaching of esoteric tantric Buddhism. Okay? So they're very important key teachings. Within the inconceivable, okay? It can't be conceived. Don't try. Don't theorize about it. Because you're reaching a level that cannot be objectified. So within the inconceivable, naked state, naked, nothing added to it, no commentary, no distractions. Within the naked state of Dharma Dhatu, place, this is your action, this is what you're doing in meditation, place ineffable awareness undistractedly. Okay, so that's where you put your awareness, in the inconceivable naked Dharma Dhatu. And then, if a thought arises, it will also dissolve. Don't worry about the thought. Just don't fixate on it. Focus on the Dharma Dhatu. So now, what is the Dharma Dhatu? What is he speaking of? And he explains that further on. What is meant by basic space, which is the definition of Dharma Dhatu? It means unconstructed, with no beginning, no present, and no end. It has no name. It is beyond cause or condition, just like physical space. So we're not talking about physical space. We're talking about unconstructed space, physical space is a construct. Okay? So let's try to understand what he's talking about. If you are watching a movie, let's say it's one of those space movies, and there's a spaceship going through empty space at the speed of light, perhaps. Very fast, if you are interested in the movie, you will be focused on this spaceship, and you may even believe temporarily by suspending your disbelief that you are moving through the cosmos. But if you focus on the screen, you will see that there's no movement at all. It's just a flat two-dimensional screen that doesn't change, and it doesn't contain any three-dimensional space at all. You're not in a cosmos. But because of the laws of projection and identification, and if the movie is interesting, you will find yourself going to another planet. But you haven't left your chair, all right? So the Dharma Dhatu is the state of not leaving your chair. But instead of a screen, we have a hologram. And all of the information you're receiving through the senses, or you believe they're coming through the senses, they're not actually, but you're translating the information arising in consciousness into five sensory modalities plus a soundtrack of mental chatter, and you're considering that to be a world in which you're moving through time and space. That's the constructed space. The Dharma Dhatu is the realization that all of that is taking place within the holographic screen of your consciousness that never moves. Okay? So, meditation is not focusing on anything that's happening within the hologram, but recognizing that it is a hologram. And that the awareness that is recognizing it is not different from it. Because all that arises in consciousness is only consciousness. It's not telling you about something beyond your consciousness. It's not telling you about some real world. It is only a dream that is being interpreted as a real world. Okay, so that's the state of realization, and the completion of the journey for a Tibetan Buddhist. But a Kashmir Shaivite would say, no, that's just phase one. And so this is very important that we understand the difference between these two wisdom schools. When you have reached that state that he's referring to here, of the naked Dharma Dhatu. In other words, you are aware of the unconstructed space that is not the space of the hologram, but the space of the consciousness in which the hologram appears. You can only sustain that if your mind is empty of thought, because as soon as there is thought, you will be identifying with the icon that represents you, that you think of as your body, in the hologram. And you will have lost the naked Dharma Dhatu, and now you're caught up in Star Wars or whatever else is the movie you're in. But you are no longer watching it. Now you're in it. And now you have to grab your laser sword and you're in conflict with someone, because the ego is always in conflict. But when you're in the Dharma Dhatu, the movie actually loses its interest, as most movies do, once you get what they're doing, and it's a formula, and there's nothing original, and it's not very interesting at all. Then you're more concerned with your popcorn. So that's what happens here, except the popcorn is consciousness in its purity. But what the Shaivite would say is, no, what you're reaching there is what's called shunyata, emptiness. You have emptied out your identifications and your projections. Now, that empty awareness that is no longer in the Dharma Dhatu, which is samsara, you're no longer in a world. Where are you? And what are you? Now you turn the consciousness inward. Now you go to phase two. And because you are empty, your consciousness will pass through the diaphanon. That's not the Kashmir term, that's Sat Yoga. But you'll pass through the membrane that separates the phenomenal realm from the noumenal. And once you pass through that, instead of an empty awareness, you will realize the presence of the Lord of Power, that is the actual intelligence that projected the movie onto the screen. And then by being absorbed into the fullness of that supreme being, you will realize God. They don't speak of that realization of God. They speak of the emptiness that takes you out of Maya. But that leaves you in a limbo, a no man's land, in an emptiness. But the Tibetan sages who are in that state, some of them do turn to the Buddha mind and they have that realization. And that's the difference between certain forms of Buddhist philosophy and others. But they don't focus on the nature of the Supreme Lord who is responsible for this. And then in the final phase, there is an integration of the noumenal, the real, and the unreal that is made as an aspect of the real through its integration, through the unification of samsara and nirvana. Then you recognize that the dream that Shiva projects as a world, which is not real as a world, is actually real as a manifestation of divine intelligence. The dream has meaning, it has significance, it has importance. It's alive with the presence of God in every moment. And everything, every instant of consciousness within the world is infinitely precious and is expressing a deep, important, internal, essential aspect of God that could only be realized through being projected as a world, as a situation, as an event, as an interaction. The non-duality of God's being, because of its infinite nature, requires to be expressed in the poetry of duality. For that understanding of God's richness and subtlety of being to be fully known by itself. In the same way that you often have to express yourself or write a poem in order to discover what you're really feeling or thinking. If you don't talk about it, or you don't write it or paint it or play it in music, you cannot know your own heart. And it's only by knowing the Dharma Dhatu and knowing the holographic movie that arises in it that we can know the heart of God and realize that as the self. So that is the completion, which is the experience now that is also imperience and samirience all combined, in which the presence of the absolute is in the relative and the particular, and they are all one, and all is God. and there is only that. So, the act of meditation, of turning back toward the source, is the key for liberation from the little drama of the character you're playing in this vast cosmic drama, to the consciousness of the author, the playwright, the consciousness of the royalty that is present in every microcosmic being and situation and event. So later in this talk, he quotes from the third Karmapa, who is one of the great teachers of the Tibetan lineages. And he says this: when observing subjects, they are seen to be the mind. When observing objects, they are seen to be subjects, right? They are seen to be the mind, devoid of objects. So whatever you perceive as an object is your own subjectivity, a projection of that which you cannot know except when expressed outwardly. So everyone whom you meet is an aspect of yourself, but an aspect that has been disowned, an aspect that has been unloved, an aspect that has been unappreciated from that space of your true nature. And that includes your body, and that includes your mind, because they are objects. So, when observing objects, they are seen to be the mind devoid of objects. When observing the mind, you realize there is no mind, as it is empty of an entity. In other words, when you ask, whose mind is it? Whose thoughts are these? There is no one. It's just a program. It's empty of any substantial beingness. And it arises whether you want it to or not. It has nothing to do with you. The thoughts come, the thoughts go. You can't control them. This is why the ego is always frustrated in meditation. And it says, I can't stop thinking, I can't stop. Of course it can't, because the ego itself is part of the program. But once you have extracted your consciousness from that illusion into the real, the thoughts will stop. So he says, the Karmapa, when observing both mind and the objects that appear in the mind, dualistic fixation is spontaneously freed. Okay? So that's the key. The only thing we suffer from is dualistic fixation. That's the disease, the universal disease of our consciousness. We are freed from that disease by observing that both the mind is empty of any reality and the objects that appear in it likewise are empty of reality. Empty as objects. But then you go into the fullness and you recognize the truth of the divine nature of all of this. So if you think of it only as empty, you'll think the world is worthless. What am I doing here? Get me out. This is stupid. This is a cruel hoax. It's not that at all. It's an extraordinary divine drama with infinite meaning moreness, but you can't know that from the character in it, because the part that the character is playing is a part that is fixated in the dualistic relationality it has with others, that is always a relationship of conflict and not of recognition of unity. But you leave the character and you see the play as one unified field of consciousness expressing the glory of God, and all is perfect. And that is liberation. It's not getting out, it's realizing you have never been in it. But what it is your own creation, your own world in which the presence of God is expressed as yourself, but as yourself that is the entirety of the holographic field, no longer the self as an ego in the field. This is liberation. May you be graced with the peace that comes from the realization that you are not the character, nor even the audience, but the author. And return to the full consciousness and power that enables you to transform the drama in real time. Time that has become real because you have recognized what is real. And the transformation of your character and the course of your destiny. Is fulfilled in its highest form through the realization of the self effortlessly and in perfection and fulfillment of all the yearning that the ego and the soul were frustrated by being unable to achieve. And this is the reason that you attain peace. And may you know the deeper peace of the full consciousness of the playwright and the full significance of the drama. And the infinite beauty of every being in the drama and of every interaction and the subtle requirements of the fulfillment of the dramatic necessity for the unfoldment of truth, goodness, and beauty in every relationship. And may you know the supreme peace of realizing the state of the author when the script is complete and the author returns from the action of creation and its fulfillment as destruction to the infinite rest that occurs when time has come to an end and all that is the infinite, eternal, worldless present where only the self abides. May you know the self in your absoluteness, beyond being and non-being, beyond all duality, beyond all that can be conceived, and abide as that, here and now. May you all give yourself the gift of the true sovereignty of your being and your nature and your eternal essence. Here and now, while the drama unfolds, so that you have the glorious grace of knowing yourself as you really are. Namaste.